Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Can't do nothing but sit and wait and wait and wait and wait till we get this show started. Because they don't want to let me be great. They don't want to let me be great on Facebook, man. They don't want to let me be great on Facebook and YouTube. They won't let me do the countdown. I can't do nothing. I just got to pop up on people like, what you doing in my house? And I see y'all coming on in here. Come on in. Gather around, good friends, good people. Gather around, gather around, gather around. I see y'all. I see y'all. Can y'all hear me okay? Can everybody hear me? Are you hearing me okay? Is everybody hearing me okay? Let me ask you this. I need y'all to comment for me because, you know, y'all are my producers too. Thank you, Xavier Vortis. Can you hear this good? How does that sound? Does this sound choppy? I know everybody need to call me. Does that sound choppy? I'm trying to work on this equipment and shit, but it sound good? Good. What's up? What's up? Welcome back to another episode of LeVar Walker Daily Show Podcast. You are in the right place. If you came here, this is where we talk shit, where it goes down, where people call in, and we just have a good, good time. So I want to welcome each and every one of you guys back out to the show today. Had a cool day, man. Went, got the truck waxed. I don't really be doing shit. My day is kind of boring. I just look to see what's going on in the world. Deal with my son. Play this nigga said, welcome to the LeVar Burden Show. You wrong for that shit. I had to hear that my whole life, all through grammar school. They would say, Mr. Burden, you're gonna have to really get it together. And I'm like, ma'am, my name is Walker. Okay, I'm not Burden, even though my mom saw that name during Roots and named me Burton after LeVar Burden. She just liked that name. That was actually what my mom picked from Roots. So shout out to LeVar Burden and shout out to Roots. I wonder what my name would be if Roots didn't come out. You ever think about what your name would be if you didn't have that name? Have you ever looked on Facebook to see people with your name? I typed in LeVar Walker on Facebook. It is some weird ass LeVar Walkers out there. And I'm a weirdo too, but they are very weird. It's almost like you looking at yourself in parallel universes or some shit. Like, oh damn, that's me. You know what I mean? Like it's very, very weird. So, but anyway, shout out to all the LeVars, including LeVar Ball. Super famous LeVar. I'm at the bottom of the pole. First, it was just me and LeVar Burden. Well, not even me and LeVar, but it was LeVar Burden. And then, you know what I'm saying? I did my comic view. It was LeVar Burden, LeVar Walker. And then LeVar Ball blew up and he ran with it, man. He you know, was about LeVar Ball, though. So that's what it is, guys. But welcome back to another episode of the LeVar Walker Daily Show Podcast. Got a couple of things I would like to cover this evening. They still got the slave plantation in Louisiana. Yes, they do. Got a couple of things I want to cover this evening. Number one, shout out to all my people in LA, anybody that tunes in LA. It is looking like LA tenants have until August 1st. To August 1st to pay 18 months of back rent. Let me pull this up, man. This is crazy. They got to August 1st. I guess they just let it keep going on and on. And so they have until August 1st to pay 18 months of back rent. And the tenant advocates want the city to just scrub rent debts or add further protections. This is wow. So I just saw this, man. The hourglass is running out for Los Angeles apartment tenants to pay rent owed during the first 18 months of the pandemic. Now, As we know, LA rents is about $2,000 to $3,000. I did some math, right? And I'm just gonna, I'm a low ball. I'm just gonna say average $2,500 a month in rent for LA rent. We'll just do $2,500 for 18 months. Come on, calculator. Times 18. You're talking about 45,000 that people might have to cough up. So under a tenant protection package passed earlier this year, tenants have until August 1st to repay the debts incurred between March 1st, 2020 and September 1st, 2021. So they just, I guess, put those that all in the dark and just let everybody keep going. About 100 people led by the Keep LA House Coalition gathered in downtown LA this week to call upon Mayor Karen Bass and the city council to cancel rent debts and to provide further protections for tenants who can't pay back rent. They said lingering struggles from the pandemic coupled with inflation and LA's high cost of living make it nearly impossible for many to pay their debts. If no further actions are taken to prevent landlords from removing tenants come August 1st, eviction filings will soar. That is a damn shame. They got these people out here. Tenant right advocates said $20 million in voter-approved measure ULA funds should be set aside for rental assistance program, but the program has yet to launch. The pipeline to homelessness, it starts with eviction and it starts with high rents and a high rent debt. Renee Moy, an organizer with Debt Collective and a member of the Los Angeles Tenants Union, told the Daily News, "We must act now before this crisis gets worse." Daniel Uchelson, executive director of the Apartment Association of Greater LA, said tenants have known for nearly 3 years they would need to repay back rent. During that entire time, some have not made any attempts to repay their obligations and simply have waited around for some miracle to make a large lump sum payment, which they are unlikely able to do. Uchelson told the Daily News in an email, "It is time for the city of Los Angeles to stop babysitting these adults." The city's tenant safeguards expanded universal just cause eviction protection to 100,000 apartments and single family homes, preventing LA landlords from arbitrarily evicting tenants. That they are in a real fucking pickle. I don't get it, man. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to all my homies in LA. I got a lot of people in LA. Sometimes I have to go to LA to work or film or something like that. But I was never really drawn to want to move to LA. My whole career as a comedian, people often say, "Man, you need to move to LA." And I was like, I don't know. The only way I would ever wanted to move to LA, and I can tell y'all this, is if, you know what I'm saying, like I had like a $10 million deal on the table or some shit that's like guaranteed and I'm still not coming there to the ink dry. I think LA can be a very difficult place, especially like the older you get. You know, if you young, you were, you know, back in the day, like in the late 90s, early 2000s, you know, people go out there, they couch surf, especially if they trying to get on in entertainment and arts. And they could couch surf and shit and, you know, live with somebody or live in a back house or whatever they would do to get on. That shit just wasn't for me. I just can't do that. I can't live like that. You know what I'm saying? And plus, you know, with my school and even as a pharmacist out there, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, bro, like, you know, even at my hourly pharmacist rate, bro, I'm just scraping by. You just scraping by on six figures in LA. Like, I don't even know how anybody is doing it out there unless you like have your own business. You need to be a super successful entertainer, or I guess you just running some really dope business and you're winning. But that shit is ridiculous, man. I was in LA. I went to get me some muffins. I had two breakfast muffins. Like, it was a little stand. Man, I got me two muffins and a coffee. That shit was like $48, man. $48. I had a rental car. Gas was $8 a gallon. I said, what? What is this? How is this even making sense? I mean, it's a beautiful city. But this is very, very sad. And you know, this is just a result of them, I guess, kicking that can down the road, because even me, like, I own a property. I own a rental property. And when these people aren't paying, I would want to ask if they are putting something in for the landlord. Because, shit, a lot of times with these real estate deals and these landlords, a lot of them ain't making no money, y'all. All this shit, you know what I'm saying? I know a lot of these niggas do classes and all that shit about get rich and real estate and all that. But, you know, sometimes people making a profit of maybe $100 a door, if that. Most are losing. So they just in there scraping by trying to pay the rent. And you know, you have some tax advantages when owning these properties, but it's rough, man. It's very, very rough. And I guess this is some type of domino effect. It seems to me like California is about to turn into, like, you know, Detroit when Detroit first collapsed. Like, it just seems like they're going to go bankrupt or something. It just seems like a lot of those policies that they have in place with California, it doesn't seem to really be helping, you know, them from a business standpoint. And, you know, they're kicking all this shit down the road. And on top of that, you got the SAG after strike and the WGA. Ain't nobody making no money. Everything at a standstill. Everything. Because the trickle-down effect of those economics where you got studios empty, because, you know, it's not when we filming TV shows, when I'm filming a television show or a movie, which I have, I have filmed some movies. I done been in a movie and two or three TV shows. But when you're filming those, you know, you look around. It's not just about you, man. You know, you got grips, camera operators, hair and makeup, food and craft services. You have drivers. You just have a whole crew. Like, there are crews upon crews, and you have an accounting department. You have so many jobs, like, within that. Even when you are doing a move, you got a person that's, like, taking notes for the script. Like, if the director says somebody said, like, that's a lot. And you have a multi, like, that's literally like, you know, being in Detroit, I guess, doing the boom of the auto industry and just all the car manufacturers just strike. I mean, you just shut down. That'd be the equivalent of Delta probably shutting down in Atlanta, man. Like, it's just so much. And on top, and then they got this eviction shit coming on top of their housing problem, on top of the homelessness. Shit, man, please. It is rough there, man. So I just want to lift my hands in prayer for people in LA. My goodness, man. And you gang banging ass niggas, y'all better go help protect people from getting evicted. All you Crips and Blood, whatever gang you in, goddammit, y'all better rally the troops so people don't get thrown out. You want to be tough. Now's the time to be tough. Let's see how tough you are. You've been robbing and pillaging your own kind. Now they about to throw everybody out. Let's just see how that shit works out. So I'm gonna keep this moving, man. Shout out to everybody that tuned in today. We got quite a few views today. So yeah, man, a lot of people. That's right, Carmen Williams. Yeah, a lot of people are depending on the success of the movie, and that trickle-down effect is serious. And yes, all the gangbangers in L.A., I don't know what you going to do when they start turning off them lights and that water and everybody just give up. Like, it's weird, man. Sometimes these policies are just not good policies, man. Sometimes these, hey, mom, my mom in there. Sometimes these policies are just not good policies. They just don't help, man. You have to allow people to be adults. I understand, like, during the crisis, during the COVID situation or the pandemic, I get it. People's out of work. They provided relief. But I don't think they should have kicked the can down the road. I think it would have been much better to just forgive those people of that rent. Hopefully they could find some COVID funds or some pandemic funds, but we're going to have a huge problem on our hands. So brothers and sisters in LA and all my gangbanging brothers and sisters, this is not the time. This is the time to love each other and, do right. Do right by your people, man, because this is just not looking good at all. And speaking of that, with this SAG after strike, with this WGA strike, the whole thing is just about disruption. Technology is just disrupting places at a rapid rate. It's disrupting industries very, very quick. The first industry that was like really disrupted by technology, I would say one of the biggest disruption was when Uber hit the scene. And you know, you got all these cab drivers in New York, and in New York, I don't know if you know this, but when you see a cab on the street, a cab is registered with a medallion. Now you could put multiple cars under one medallion, but pre-Uber, those medallions could cost anywhere from $1 million to $2 million, right? And these drivers will work their ass off and try to save up and get a bank loan or whatever so they can go in and buy those medallions. What ended up happening, Uber came in overnight, wiped that value out. You had a lot of cabbies committing suicide. It was just bad. This is like huge disruption that is going on based on technology. And then at the same time, us as humans, because we're so selfish and greedy, you know, as bad as that sounds, we still want that convenience. You don't want to holler out taxi anymore. You don't want to say that shit. You want to pull out your phone and hit a button and some stranger appears in the car. You just jump into it. Could you imagine running that idea by somebody in the 80s? What do you mean you gotta just get in a stranger's car? Are you crazy? But that's where we're at right now. And so that was one of the first industries to get disrupted. And as we go, more and more industries will be disrupted, especially with this ChatGPT, which is a calculator for your mind. And it's a lot that this thing is looking like it's going to disrupt. You know, like, I can ask this thing anything, man. I had this thing just plan me out a business plan and do all kind of shit for me. But this is where we at right now, unfortunately. So, but one thing about the human mind and humans is we can adapt. You can adapt to this shit. We got to figure this shit out. Ain't no other way. If I was in LA and my rent was due on August 1st and I need it. Hold on one second, guys. Hold on. Hey, welcome to the LeVar Walker Show podcast. Hello, honey. You're on the podcast right now. Yeah, you can say hi to everybody. Yeah, you want to say hey, yeah, you can come say something. What, are you okay? Yeah, you're on the pod. All right.
I was just calling to see if you were done. I'm on my way home.
Okay. I'll see you when you get here.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay. Wait, do you want to come in? Okay, my son wants to come in and say something to you guys. Come on, come say something. Come on.
I have an announcement.
Go ahead.
The announcement is that Jeffy.
They don't know who Jeffy is.
Okay, okay.
You can get closer to the mic.
Okay.
Okay, what do you want to say to the people? What do you want to say?
I would like to say, I have to say something right now.
How do you? Okay, so this is what I'm talking about. People in LA are about to be evicted from their apartments.
Why?
Well, they have till August 1st to pay back all the money they didn't pay during COVID. How do you feel about that? Do you want to tell the people?
Okay.
Go ahead.
They need to stop. Because if I was the governor of California, I wouldn't do that.
That's good, son. Well, thank you, guys. That
Wait, no, one more thing?
Yeah.
The one thing is,
uh-huh,
if anyone knows who Mario is,
okay,
they should say Mario.
Okay, that's it. I got it.
One more thing.
Okay.
If anyone, I don't think anyone knows this person.
Son, we are losing people here.
Okay.
All right. So you can say bye bye. You want to say bye? Because he just wanted to come in and say something.
Bye.
All right. Thank you. That was
tax evasion.
That was Preston Walker. Thank you, son. All right. Now, where was I? Okay, that's enough. Okay, where was that? Like I was saying, man, we're in a lot of major disruption. Come on, get out of here. We're in a lot of major disruption going on from a technological standpoint. I would just tell everybody to adapt, beware. You know, it's a recession on the rise. Just be careful, man. Don't listen to a lot of these slick talking brothers in suits telling you about black. You know, they're going to come black business. We got to do the black, black and black, black. And in the name of the blackness, and they end up scamming you. And I mean, this is happening over and over again. So we just need to watch all of that. And as far as the SAG after strike is concerned, you know, what has happened is that actors and writers feel like, you know, they're not being paid enough. Now, the thing is, when you're dealing in the entertainment business, only a few eat at a time. That's the whole allure of entertainment. You have those that are up, and then it's just everybody else floating by, like myself. You know what I'm saying? So I don't get a big chunk of my income from SAG after nor the WGA, but I was talking to my brother today just about how, you know, this big change. So when you think about Netflix, right? Netflix just run these shows. Netflix is a streaming platform. They buy licenses for content, meaning it's almost like if you got a house and you need a contract or something, you need a wall fix, you contract that person for that period of time till the wall is fixed. And Netflix will buy content to run it on their platform, but over 90% of Netflix's profit comes straight from subscriptions. So they kind of bled for a minute, and now they just got profitable, I want to say, in 2022 or 2021. But the whole basis of the entertainment business was just built off of advertising revenue. So back in the day, you know, you watched the Cosby Show or something with them commercials, you know, your Kraft commercial, your Coke commercial, your Jell-O pudding commercial. This is what paid the bills. You know what I mean? Like, we thought TV was free. It wasn't necessarily really free. It was just that our attention and our eyeballs was worth the money. They needed somebody to watch the commercial so you can go out and buy the Jell-O pudding pops and the Coca-Cola and shit like that. Whereas now with streaming, I don't think a lot of streamers are even profitable outside of maybe Hulu and Netflix. And then I just don't think a lot of us are watching most of this shit. Like, who is really I talk to people all the time. I'm like, did you see the show? Who is watching all this shit? Like, for real, let's just be real. Who is watching it? Who watching it? Y'all not watching this shit. Now y'all watching me. And I don't have a subscription service. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. It seems like the whole entertainment industry is imploding in the sense with that old business model. So I don't know where we go from here. I don't know. I'm just hoping I don't have to put my white coat back on and get back in that pharmacy. I'm going to have to open my own store. So I don't know. It's just, we in some very strange times. And then it's hot, global warming. It's crazy. And I hate to be a Debbie Downer right now. So, that, I mean, that's where this thing is at. Hopefully, a deal will be made with WGA and SAG-AFTRA. And we could get something back. I mean, some of the shows, Snowfall went off. I don't really watch a lot of TV personally. You know what I'm saying? I'm so busy just looking at shit. I mean, and then like my, you know, way this phone is, where all this information is coming, it has literally turned my attention span into that of a fly, literally. Like, the best way to watch a movie is you need to just really turn your phone off and watch it. I never would have thought that I would get to a point where I'm looking at a movie and it feels like I'm reading a book. And the worst moves were the motherfuckers talking low. Yeah, and then we went down to the store. Are you going to get the stuff from the store? They talking low and it's dimly lit in the background. I'm like, dude, I'm out. Like, you know what I'm saying? After 20 minutes, how many people like falling asleep on Netflix? We ain't doing nothing but fucking and sleeping to Netflix. That's literally what we're doing right now. And nobody's saying anything. So I don't know. Hopefully the industry will come back with prayers. I'm going to stand on the side of all actors and writers and continue to protest and strike. And we can't even talk about no shows we got coming out. Can't even talk about that. Cause they don't want them making money while we not making money. So that's the thing, man. Right now, UPS drivers, I believe, are making $49 an hour to drive the trucks. That's pretty good. You damn near make as much as a pharmacist to drive a UPS truck. Isn't that great, guys? Like, that's really cool. I don't even know if kids should go to pharmacy school no more. Let me see. UPS truck driver rate. Hey, no, is that must be wrong. Somebody lied to me. The average hourly pay for UPS truck driver is $26.85 an hour. As high as $53.45. I don't know why he told me $49. No. That's wrong. I'm going to take that one back. UPS truck driver, $49. Now, I believe they deserve it because, man, I salute all my people, man, that's working for Amazon, UPS. That's what makes the world go round. Wait a minute now. They say, wait, UPS caves to union strike. And UPS cave is now paying its employees $45 an hour. They are paying them $45 an hour. Wow. So, yeah, that's breaking news. Let me bring that up here. I'm a ghetto news nigga or something. Let me see what this is. UPS reaches contract with 340,000 unionized workers, averting potentially calamitous strike. They were going to disrupt logistics nationwide for business and households. Under the preliminary agreement, full-time drivers will make $49 per hour and part-time drivers will make $21 per hour. So this is what they're going to do. Let me tell y'all how corporate America works. Yes. They agreed. They shook hands with the devil. They say, yeah, we want $49 an hour. That's right. Now, the trick to that is full-time drivers. Full-time. That word, full-time. Okay? That's where they can kind of move the goalposts. When I was working as a pharmacist, you were considered full-time. I believe it was at 35 hours a week. You could still carry your benefits, not at 34 hours, but at 35. But this is how these dirty motherfuckers do. They will make people get off that clock at 34 hours. And if you stay over, you get a write-up. This is what happens. So what they're going to do, UPS, are going to decrease the amount of full-time workers. And they're going to place so much on those full-time guys that it's going to be unbearable what's about to happen now. They're going to put so much pressure on these guys that they're going to break these guys so that they quit and they won't hire. They're not going to hire full-time people anymore. This is what's going to happen. They're going to hire part-time and flex drivers. And they're going to get right back down to $21 an hour. That's what's going to happen. That $340,000, I don't know how many out of that $340 is full-time, but you better believe that in the next couple of weeks, that the goal of UPS's company is to decrease the amount of full-time workers. Now, this is why, y'all, when y'all go to CVS and Walgreens, you in a long-ass line, okay? You in a long-ass line because these corporations, they don't want to pay a tech full-time, because if they pay full-time, then they got to pay the health benefits. So what ends up happening is if you have a full-time employee, let's just say the employee is making $20 an hour, okay, and it's a full-time employee. Well, they're not necessarily making $20 an hour. They're making even more than that because the employer, the business, has to cover their health care benefits. And the employer typically will carry 80% of those benefits. So now you're looking at a policy, that's another $20,000. So a $40,000 worker is really costing the company about $60,000 a year. This is how this shit works, man. You're not going to win. Shit happened at Kaiser. They was protesting and shit at Kaiser. I worked at Kaiser. I worked on what's called a PRN basis. And what ended up happening was that Kaiser, the employees wanted to get a deal because Kaiser wanted to bring in newer pharmacists at a lower rate. But the employees said, oh, no. We need to keep our rates the same based on the seniority. Kaiser's a great company. So based on seniority, we want to avert this. So to avert a strike, Kaiser agreed. You know what Kaiser did next? They're not hiring nobody. They're going to work the shit out of those that are standing around. That's what's going to happen. They're going to work the shit out of them. Those people will quit. And guess what they won't do? They won't hire full-time people. They're going to get so many part-time and PRN people, and then they're able to save on payroll. That's what it is. I hope y'all learning something today. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like just getting on here being stupid and silly all the time. Like, I was at a podcast today, and I'm on the podcast. It was a good podcast, but I was like, I know y'all are bored and tired of me. I know y'all probably thought I was going to come on here with some goofy shit. Like, yeah, don't be in the thing. Get out of here, boy.
Out.
I know this will be like, yeah, I'll be in the thing and this, that. No. I like to talk grown folk talk. Like, I like to make sense. I don't like, you know, joking is cool. Like, I be joking. I roast. But it's cool, but you know what I mean? I like to come on here and really talk about what's on my heart and what's on my mind. So it looks like our good brother. Oh, man, I forgot. I need to talk about this, too. The CDC is talking about recommending a yearly COVID and booster shot. I don't think this shit gonna work. COVID booster shot. I really don't think this is gonna work, guys. They talking about implementing a yearly booster for everybody to get boosted. And I think people are fed up and boosted the fuck out. Now, I have the vaccine. I got it. But now, man, good luck, CDC. Good luck. I can tell you that right now. I don't know what else they got to be cooking up something new to get us back in control. Because somebody in these offices and shit, they go, we got to get them back to work. All right? We got to get these people back into the office. Now, what's the best way we can do it? Now, we did the pandemic to get them out. We got to come up with something to get them back into these places. I'm a commercial realtor. All right? I don't want to lose my business here. Let's get these people in traffic, get them back miserable and stressed. Let's get them in the building. Come on, cook me up a disease. Let's get some malaria. Let's do something. Let's get it. You know, like that is what they're doing. Like right now, they're at a whiteboard and they're trying to figure it out because downtowns are empty right now. You don't have people, you know, the man. You just don't have people walking around circulating that dollar, and you had these big, beautiful buildings just sitting. Now, I know I went to, I played Tommy T's, shout out Tommy T's in the Bay Area, and I went to visit the Apple headquarters. Beautiful. If you know, it's in Cupertino, California. Look up the Apple headquarters. It's a beautiful campus. I mean, it's breathtaking. And Apple forced everybody to come back in the office. They say, your ass either come back in the office or you're fired. That's what they said. And that's what happened. My mom says she thinks it'll turn into an alien if she get too many boosters. I think you're right, Mom. It's either that or we'll grow tails or something. I really don't know. Who knows what's gonna happen? I don't know. I tried to do the right thing and listen, and based off my years of research and looking at the vaccine and the spikes and how the virus had the spikes and how to tear your ass up and trying to protect myself with the shot. So who knows? I don't know, man. I don't know. Who will be right in the end? Will an unvax be right or would a vax be right? Well, I will tell you this. If I'm going to die from this shot, and if we all of us that took this shot are going to die, I'd much rather die with y'all, because the people that didn't get it, I don't know if I would want to be here with them. A lot of them aren't resourceful. I'm going to say that. Now, that might divide the room here, but for the most of them that didn't get it, it's like, oh God, you know, a lot of conspiracy theory, a lot of weirdo. Like, I'm just saying, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just telling you what it is. A lot of people missing teeth didn't get the shot. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. So I don't know if the society would be right without it. So that is that. And last but not least, a good brother over at the Breakfast Club, DJ Envy, is facing a lawsuit. Very unfortunate, man. Good brother, DJ Envy, who is my birthday. I think me and Envy got the same birthday. My fellow Virgo brother. He is now facing multiple real estate fraud lawsuits, man. Very, very unfortunate for DJ Envy. Now, let me pull that up. Mm-hmm. So Rick Ross is roasting him. And let me tell you something. Envy's a Virgo like me. So right now he hates this shit. Like, he is really panicking and really internalizing it, and the disdain that this man probably has for Rick Ross, I can't even imagine. And Rick Ross is kicking the man while he's down. Well, it's never nice to kick someone while they're down, although a simple Instagram comment isn't too rough of a blow. Moreover, for those unaware, Rick Ross and DJ Envy have some relatively deep-rooted beef. Thanks to their car show competition earlier this year, therefore it's only natural that at the fall of one another enters the ring again to have a laugh, I'll bet, for pretty serious reasons. Furthermore, the Breakfast Club co-host recently received two lawsuits against him alleging real estate fraud, according to court documents. What's more is that these accusations paint the situation as a potential Ponzi scheme based on the specific claims around this wrongdoing. Apparently, DJ Envy kept over $1.5 million in investments for a planned apartment project, reports of which first emerged back in 2018. Even though the property never came to be, the suit claims that Envy basically scammed investors into giving up the money with no follow-up. While COVID-19 came up as a potential reason for delay, plaintiffs still rallied against him and alleged accomplices for stealing money on a false promise. What's more is that one investor demanded his $300,000-plus investment back, and of course, this overjoyed Rick Ross. Oh, man, our brother Envy, man. Boy, that beard about to be white as snow now, man. Look, Envy, man, I don't think the Beijing gonna work while this is going down, bro. Now, this is what I'm reading, so very, very sad. Prayers up, and Rick Ross says, time to tattoo that hairline, too. Maybach Music Group mogul wrote under an Instagram post covering the lawsuits. As much as Rick Ross might find it easy to play around and point fingers quickly, many details of the case still haven't been revealed, given that it's probable that DJ Envy will be able to sidestep these issues swiftly, although it's entirely not a sure shot. Whatever the case, this is certainly a strange evolution to their beef. Is this still about cars and reputation, or is this a business measuring contest now? Regardless, only time will tell how this alleged real estate fraud from the commentary mogul turns out. When it does develop or resolve, we're sure that Ross will be first in line with either a laugh or some other form of jab at Envy. Very, very unfortunate. And I'm just going to say to y'all, man, anything you want to learn on real estate is no secret. Listen, you can learn it for free. All right. Like, it's not. Listen, all this shit is online. You can learn it for free. You want to learn to flip a house? You can learn it on YouTube. Anything. All the information is available. You don't need to go sit down with some nigga on the corner, or you don't need to do that. You can literally, like, it's all available. There are books you could buy. You could buy the books for dummies on real estate. And I'm telling you, that gives you the real information. I think a lot of times we don't be wanting to read, and that's what we get taken advantage of, man. We don't be wanting to read, man. And people take advantage, man, especially if they like high profile celebs. They'll get you, man. Like I said before, I got in a real estate deal. And I still had that property now. I mean, it took me forever to pay it down. But, I mean, the money that I've lost in it, I mean, sheesh. Like, it was a definite, it's a definite ball and chain around my neck. But I had to learn the hard way, man. My folks talk slick, man. Look, man, get this money, man. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Because real estate is a game. Like, the number one most stolen thing in America, I think they say, is a house. Like, you know, people can trick you out your house, man. Like, with a quit claim deed or some shit, or, you know, now, you know, in Fulton County, they were saying, like, people were just going down to the tax assessor's office and, like, changing the deed. Like, literally, like, I don't know how they were doing this, but they were somehow changing the name on the deed and selling the house. Selling your house. Why are you in there? And you don't even see them. They just come and sheriff knock on the door or something. It's very, very weird. So I'm just going to say, man, keep an eye open. Be very, very skeptical. Be very, very skeptical. And read. Do your due diligence, man. Gotta do your due diligence, man. Fool me once, fool me twice. Your ass ain't gonna fool me again. Do that, dude. Don't believe nothing nobody say. You looking at a deal, fly down there. See what the current average rent is. I don't even know if you could trust the computers. Go down there and just talk to somebody that's sitting out at the store or something. That's literally what you got to do for your due diligence. You can't trust nobody out here. But prayers up to the brother Envy, guys. And I guess we're going to wrap this thing up, man. I see a lot of y'all tuned in today. Please let me know in the comments how y'all like this so far. What could I do to make this shit better? To make this show more enjoyable? Bruh, I don't know. You say, how can you leave? I don't know, but they was doing it, bro. I don't know. But, yeah. You got to read, man. They got a trick for you, man. They always got a trick up their sleeve because they had us, like, checking. They was like, yo, you got to make sure you got to check or put... I think what... One thing that could help avoid like somebody stealing your house or your deed or your title is maybe just putting all deeds, titles, and even car tag, all that shit on blockchain. Therefore, you can't steal from blockchain. You know what I'm saying? Because the way y'all, I ain't about to explain no blockchain. Just look up blockchain. And you get your title in the form of an NFT, and then nobody can really get it from you because now all the computers have registered this particular contract with you, with your name. And there's no like, you know, it's a downloaded copy in millions of servers and now you're good. So I don't know. I don't know, but we're going to wrap this up, man. I'm glad you guys tuned in. And maybe we can go over a couple of comments. Shout out to Nate Austin telling me to keep doing my thing. I appreciate you, brother Nate. Y'all make sure y'all tune. I don't know when Comic View is coming out. I don't even think we can talk about Comic View coming out during this strike. Yeah, a lot of people missing teeth. Yeah, that's right, Jeannie. Janine, shout out to Janine. But thank all of you guys for tuning in. And I guess I could take a couple of phone calls. If anybody want to call in, I'm going to put this number up. I'm putting this number up now. So you got to call now. You do not call, okay? Don't call me when this show over with. Because I'm not going to pick this up. All right. If you would like to talk, call to the show. You can dial that number at the bottom of the screen. It's 678-310-7139. You can call it at 678-310-7139. Let me know how you feel. Okay. Let me know. Let me take this. Oh, I got one thing I didn't do. All right. There we go.
Unknown caller.
So we got our first caller calling in. Let's see who we got here. Let me see.
To accept.
Welcome to the LeVar Walker Show. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. How
are you? I'm great. And what's your name?
My name is Steph.
Steph?
Yeah, Steph for Stephanie.
Hey, what's happening? Y'all give Stephanie a round of applause for calling in. And where you calling from, Stephanie? What part of the world are you calling from?
I'm in hot-ass Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, Texas. Dallas, very hot. Very hot. Hopefully you got your feet in some ice water or something. What's going on with you, Steph? Let us know how you feel today. What's going on?
I'm definitely in my apartment under this AC, and I'm not going outside.
I know, because that shit is a oven in Texas, okay? I was just talking about that the other day.
Yeah,
No, go ahead. What you said?
No, I was going to say, I remember the day, because I saw you at the Arlington Improv that day. That was where they saw the Nashville Oven.
Oh, did you come to the show?
I don't know if you... I did come to the show. I think I came on the... Saturday show.
Oh, how'd you like it?
I loved it. I laughed like every second. It was amazing.
Wow. Well, that's what's up. We got a live testimony. So look, I appreciate that. I'm glad you did enjoy the show. And guys, I'm going to be at the Baltimore Comedy Factory August 18th to the 20th, and I'll be back in Arlington again. I had a great time at Tulsa. Always fun. A great barbecue. You know what I'm saying? So what's going on? Tell us more. Tell us more. What's happening? You listening to the show? What do you want to express? You want to talk about some of the topics? What's going on?
So I finally saw the like I saw it like once, and then you know you watch the thing, but you didn't really pay attention. So you the second time to really like grasp the clips. So I did that, and except work, I just agreeing with you. Like Dan Fox was in his element. I'm so happy to see him back on the comedy bag. John Boyega was great.
It was good.
I'm wondering if So just wondering, what was your absolute favorite part of the movie?
My absolute favorite part? I think, man, when I watch all the brothers kind of get together and, you know, put down their differences and then go to try to, you know, take it back, you know what I mean? Get all the clones out of the basement and just take back over. And then the one thing I liked is they internalized, you know, their wrongdoings in the community. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, I'm just this perpetrator. I'm just a part of the program. You know what I'm saying? Like, once they realize, like,
yeah.
And I think that stands true today. Now, are you black?
I am black.
Okay, cool. Because I didn't know I'm talking to a white. I wouldn't feel comfortable as a white person talking about our community issues. But no, it just spoke. One of the greatest things about that movie was how it spoke to our current subculture, because a lot of this shit don't make sense. What I see going on, you know what I'm saying? Just with the ratchet shit and just my pussy pink booty hole brown. It's just crazy. Mm-hmm. It is crazy, the exploitation of and a lot of these people. A lot of the gangster rappers and even the girls that sit and rap about their coochie all day, they not even really about that life. These
a lot of them are like educated, they get degrees and everything.
Man, a lot. Yes, man.
A particular graphic that likes that type of taunt.
Exactly. And so I just think this movie spoke to our culture, and it also spoke to, you know, it spoke to those guys like nigga, what is you doing? You know what I'm saying? It makes you think. Like, I think if this is real, this is what I said. I tweeted this the other day. I tweeted this today, actually. I said, if Clone Tyrone is real, let me tell you who's the main culprit that don't even know he the culprit. He the culprit and the scientist. It would be Boosie. Okay. Boosie would be the main person. And Boosie is John Boyega. Like, I feel that way. You know what I'm saying?
Traitor of toxicity, Boosie.
Just toxic and holding on to that street shit. Like, it's just helping the people. Like, he holds on to it like it's really helping black people. Like, street niggas out here feeding children and educating people and solving homelessness. It's crazy to me. So, yeah, it was great, though. It was great.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. My favorite part, I don't know, but I was kind of, it kind of made me go, what's the church scene?
The who
and
scene?
And I don't know why, because of the church scene, David Alan Greer.
Oh, yes,
the
man.
Looking pastor.
Oh, my goodness. David Alan Greer. Listen, David Alan Greer. We talk a lot on Instagram. He follow me and we comment back and forth. And I just have to tell him what a wonderful job he did. And that was just that ain't nothing but an old Reverend Lonnie Love from Martin. Remember he played Lonnie Love on Martin? Come on, man. That was Lonnie Love. I loved it, though. I really loved it. And just it speaks to that, like, you know what I'm saying? The church, the chicken shack, the liquor store, Like, we are living in a fucking simulation. It's lit, like, you know what I'm saying? It was a great, it was
showing,
it was
like, seemingly monolithic, but we're not.
Right. We aren't monolithic, but it just speaks to the subculture is monolithic, I would say. Our subculture is monolithic. And not only is it monolithic, it's profited off of by other cultures and sold back to us. So what ends
Which
up
happening? They need us to reproduce so they can continue.
Yes. And what ends up happening is when that subculture, when they do that, when they sell that subculture, sell it back to us, and then the other cultures, their children and everything, they just dance to it. They don't get involved, but they watching a show. It's like a fucking circus. And it just goes in a perpetual cycle. So like when I see guys that are in the streets or whatever, and they do some wrong or do crime, and then they go drop an album, then what is that telling that little 10-year-old? He want to get out the hood too. And he like, man, all I got to do is go shoot two niggas. And then I dropped me an album too. So but listen, the movie spoke to me. It was an excellent movie. Excellent. Y'all go check it out too, that's watching this show. Please go check that out. But I want to thank you for calling in, my dear. You see, I be talking all day. You see me.
Absolutely.
Right? You know, they call me LeVar Walker Talker. I think I got this shit from my daddy. I talk a mile a minute. So. But thank you for calling in once again. Please tune in. I'm trying to get better with this to where it's very difficult to like get here like at the same time every day. So I'm thinking I'm going to drop these lives in between like 7 and 10, but then maybe I probably need to repost them or something. Like I could repost them consistently at one time. You think I should do that?
I think it's a good time. How about Fridays? Fridays, you know, people be going out happy hours and going into clubs.
Yes,
I don't know
people,
about me.
People do go out to happy hour on Friday. You ain't lying about that. People go out to happy hour. So, but no, this is good. So I want to thank you for calling in. I'm going to go on and get down this list. And thank you for calling in to the LeVar. Y'all shout out one more time, y'all. Yes. All right. Now, look, if anybody else want to call in, I'm going to take one more call and I got to get out of here. Okay. So the line is open. It's 678-310-7139. I'm the man with the plan, the midnight man with smooth jams. Nothing but the hits and oldies. Playing it all day and night. This is my smooth jams voice. Y'all know that radio voice. Nothing but the hits and oldies. Playing all the smooth jams. Got a little bit of Erykah Badu playing right now. Want to come through your radio waves. My mama says she about to go watch They Clone Tyrone. Honey, would you like to watch it? Please watch it with me. Please. Cool. Well, guys, I'm not getting another call. I guess everybody's out partying. It's 10 o'clock at night. And I want to thank you guys for calling in and watching the show. And I'm going to cue this music because I just like the music. Hopefully it's coming through loud and clear. This has been another episode of the LeVar Walker show. And I'm going to see y'all. I'm getting out of here. It's the weekend coming up. So no show Saturday and Sunday. Monday, I will be back. It's the greatest show in the land. You want to come and say bye, son? Come on. Tell the people goodbye. That's right. So I'm out. Peace. Good night. God bless. Oh, that was good.